Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe that you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Want to share them with you.
Ke batla go di bolela le lona.
The first one will be found in Revelations chapter 21.
Samatomo siko bukeng ya kutulo.
If we can quickly go there, Revelations 21 from verse 1. Revelations chapter 21,
Buka ya kutulo.
Reading from verse 1. Are you there?
Amen.
Read for me from verse 1 to verse 4.
Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Put your hands together for the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, God has been communicating to my heart over the past week.
Modimo na bolela le nna mo beking e fitileng.
And talking to me about leadership.
A bolela le nna ka go letlela pele.
And during the course of this week,
mo beking ena,
I have become fond of leadership. And my eyes see it as a beautiful thing. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And leadership to me is an expression of God's love. Any place that doesn't have leadership will be a disaster. Now, the passage we have just read, you see, John sees a vision of a city coming down from heaven.
John ubona naga itla mo le khodimo,
and this city comes and rests upon the earth.
Tulo e yatla idula mo lefatseng.
And that city is governed and ruled by Jehovah.
Tulo yeo ilitlela pele ke Modimo.
And because of the leader that governs that city, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death there. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So in an environment where you have good leadership, sorrow becomes a thing of the past. Pain becomes a thing of the past. Crying, tears becomes a thing of the past. But this is as a result of good leadership. Read verse 22 and verse 23, the same chapter.
Verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light.
Keep reading.
As the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it, its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There will be no darkness in that city. Darkness signifies everything that is bad. Hello, are you still here? The gates will ever be open. There's no crime. There's no fear where God is in leadership. Are you listening to me? The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. It means that the people who will be living in that city, they have glory in them. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now, all of us, in one way or another, we are leaders. Some of us, you are leaders in your home.
Or
at the least, you are leaders to your children. Some of us are leaders, we have businesses. Some of us are in management wherever we are working. Some of us, even in the church, you have some position of leadership. Leadership affects governments, families, schools, everywhere. And how well your home is talks of your leadership. Are people ever crying in your home? Are people ever sad in your home?
It
speaks of the type of leadership in that particular home. Countries,
the country,
especially us who are in Africa,
runa rilimo Africa,
corruption galore, crime galore, unemployment galore, speaks volumes of the type of leadership that is governing us. Can I hear an amen? So I want all of us to awake to the idea of being a good leader. Whatever authority that God has given you, whether it's your children, your home, you are a manager wherever, you have a business, you are a teacher by profession, you are teaching young ones. Endeavor to be a good leader. I can't hear your amen. Because when you become a good leader, everything around you flourishes. Your children will flourish. Your children will have an advantage of life because of your leadership. Decide to be a good leader. Some of us are managers, but people want to kill themselves under our leadership. Because we harass them and we enslave them. One of the greatest things about a leader is that a leader has the ability to unearth greatness from another person. Am I talking to somebody? Your face is saying, Pastor, I don't understand what you are saying. A leader has the capability, the capacity to unearth greatness from another individual. I'll give you an example. One day there was a certain king who decided every child that is 2 years and younger must die. And one particular woman
Mosadi omongwe
had a child
Nana Lingwana
whose name was Moses.
Ona bitswa gore ke Moshe.
And the Bible says
Bible iri
that when this woman looked at her child,
ge me o a lebella ngwana
gae, she could see that this child is special.
A bona gore ngwana o o botlhokwa.
There is treasure in this child.
Gonali treasure mo go ngwana.
There is greatness in this child.
Gonali bogolo mo ngwaneng ona.
And instead of allowing the child to be killed, she hid the child for 2 months, endangering her own life. And when the child was too big to be hidden, she put the child in a basket and put her in the river and cried with the hope that the child will not die. Later, when that child died, the Bible says there was no man who was ever like him. Why? Because that mother, her eyes could see the greatness in the child. Your amens are not blessing me. So, you are a leader in one way or another. Decide to be a good leader. I said, decide to be a good leader. In Jesus' mighty name. Your amen can be louder than that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's one of the things that God has been speaking to me about this week. Another one is in Matthew chapter 15. Let's quickly go there. Verse 8 and 9.
Matthew 15.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and verse 9. Are you there?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Matthew 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Read it one more time.
Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you close or far from God?
Na o kaofi kapa o khole le modimo.
It's a question. Are you close or are you far from God? So Jesus here was saying, there are people who say all the right things, but their actions are far from what they say. And therefore Jesus says their worship is in vain. Are we still on the same page?
Amen.
Now, since I took the decision to become a full-time minister, it has come with a lot of ups and downs, and It has been an emotional roller coaster. Someone say emotional roller coaster. But in the process, there are things that have been happening in my heart that I cannot explain. My trust for my king, the way I trust him like never before. The experiences that I feel and how I interpret them in my heart is a treasure that I cannot explain and I cannot give anybody. There is treasure and glory that dwells in the heart that only God can see. Now, many Christians avoid of this treasure. Because it's only their mouths that are active. But the activity that should accompany what is being said is absent. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, for example, one of God's cries, he said to Isaiah, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? What is God talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is God's priority on the earth. If somebody dies having not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their destiny is what? I can't hear you. Now, God doesn't want people going to hell. We are his creation and we are his children. He loves us with a deep love. And he does not want any of his children going to hell. How many are parents here? Lift up your hand. Do you want to see your children in jail? Parents, you don't sound like you are sure. Do you want to see your children in jail? Now, if you being evil know what is good for your children, how much more your heavenly Father? He doesn't want us to go to an eternal prison which is called hell. But many people, if you ask them, do you love God? Do you believe in God? Oh yes, God is my Father. We are all children of God. But we do nothing that openly demonstrates and proves our love for him. And therefore, what we do is what I call lip service. Your mouth says all the right things. But your behavior is not consistent with what your mouth is saying. That has to change. Do you love your God? I know you'll say amen, but let your actions speak. Without you saying it, someone must say that this one loves God. What price do you pray? What sacrifice do you make? It can be only your mouth that is moving. You must show your love for him.
He
said, Peter,
we are Peter.
Do you love me?
Now one rata.
He said, yes, Lord, you know I love
you.
Then he said, don't just say it. My sheep are scattered all over the place. Gather them together. Feed them. Take care of them. Peter, lovest thou me?
Now one rata.
Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Arwa tiba kya khurata mujimu.
Peter, don't just say it.
Ara uskwa bulela fela.
Show it to me.
Bonsa semo khona.
By taking care of my people.
Ka go tlokomela batho ba ka.
My people are precious to me.
Batho ba ka ba botlhokwa.
I love my people.
Ke rata batho ba ka.
I died for them.
Ke le ka ba shwela.
Don't let my death be in vain.
Lesulaka.
As a church, we must stop giving God lip service. Some of us, when it's come to sing in the church, it's not by might, not by power, by my spirit. You even cry tears. But the minute any circumstance comes into your life where you need to show that you don't live by your might and your power, but you live by the Spirit of God.
Hey!
You hide behind Johnny Bravo. You hide behind your job. You hide behind your education. You hide behind your family. You know, you've stopped saying amen. We started well. Can we stop offering God lip service?
Amen.
And start showing him our genuine love.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Someone say genuine love.
Genuine love.
Yeah. Can't just say I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but there's nothing that shows.
Ahona se se bontshang.
Your love for Jesus.
Are you
listening to me?
Amen.
I'm a family man.
Ki munna wa lapa.
I have a family.
Ki na le lapa.
But my God comes before my family.
Modimo wa ka o tla pele.
It's a reality.
Se ke nnete.
One day one of my aunts was shouting at me.
O mongwa bo aunti wa ka na bolela le nna.
We haven't been here for a long time.
When
are you coming to visit? I'm coming, don't worry. In my heart, I say, my Jesus is my number one. When he allows me, you will see me. I won't have to advertise, I will appear. But some of you, even if someone is getting married that you don't know, you've never seen, you've never, someone is dying, you've never met the person, you don't know. At their death is the first time you ever hear about the person. Oh, who is this? Is your uncle's first cousin and brother and man? That's why Jesus would say, let the dead bury the dead. Yes, these amens are suspicious. No? Amen. Many Christians will be surprised in eternity. Because God will not judge you on what you said. He will judge you on what you are supposed to do and you did or did not do. He will judge you on where you were supposed to go, on whether you went or you didn't go. Because even a drunkard can, I mean, sometimes when I'm passing by town, I'll pass by a tavern, and they'll be playing gospel, and the drunkards will be singing together.
Gospel.
Singing Lion of Judah together. Some of them will even be crying.
Babang balla.
May we stop lip service in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
And one of the ways to stop lip service is by being involved. Our church is not perfect. Our church is very young. But that does not give you the justification for you not to be involved. Be involved. Stop pointing fingers and be involved. Push your neighbor, say, stop pointing fingers and be involved. The reason we are not perfect is because you are sitting down there.
Eish.
You are not helping us. That's why we are not perfect.
Perfect.
You are the puzzle that is missing.
Puzzle.
Please keep saying amens properly. I'm still, it's still the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then one more thing.
Sabufelo.
Now, over the past 2 weeks,
when the beginning the bed is a fitting,
you will note that there has been xenophobic attacks in the country. Now, before I say anything, it is wrong. Push your neighbor, say it's wrong.
It is wrong.
Now, there's two things I want to show you. Come with me to the book of John, chapter 17.
Johannes 17,
from verse 14. John chapter 17 and verse 14. Are we there?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Read up until verse 18.
John chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world.
Pause there. Read it again and just take your time.
John chapter 17 and verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
I have given them your word,
mm-hmm,
and the world has hated them,
mm-hmm,
because they are not of the world.
They are not of the world. Continue.
Just as I am not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, according to what Jesus is saying here, the day the word of God was preached to you, and you believed in Jesus as the Son of God, your citizenship immediately changed. I have stopped being a Zulu many years ago. I'm a child of God. I don't take pride in my Zuluness. I take pride on the fact that I am a child of God. And I take pride that I have become a citizen of heaven. So what Jesus is saying here,
he
says that since the day you believed in me, you have become a foreigner in this earth. Because you are not of this world. You belong to another world. Whose ruler and king is Jesus. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So it is as a Christian, we must not be tempted to participate in this foolishness that we see around this country. Because you yourself, you are a foreigner. Lest you have forgotten that you are a child of God. Push your neighbor, say, you look like you forgot. We are all foreigners here. Some of you, your amens is disagreeing with me.
Amen.
All right, let me give you one more scripture. Hebrews chapter 11.
Bahebero 11.
From verse 13. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
All right. Read verse 13 to verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 to verse 16. Are you there? Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
So this is now talking about the patriarchs. Now if you read the whole book of Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter, you'll see it talks about Abraham. It talks about different men and women of God who have done faith exploits. Who have done great things in their walk with God. So the Bible says these all died in their faith. In other words, they died believing in God. And it says they confessed that there were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they confessed that they were foreigners in this earth. Keep reading.
Verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind that country from which they have come out, they would have had opportunity to return.
Mm-hmm.
But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has prepared a city for those who feel that they are foreigners in this earth. And that city is that city that John saw coming from heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not be tempted to partake of the foolishness that is happening on the earth. We may be living here, but we are not from here. Since that day you believed in Jesus, you have lost your citizenship of being an earthly person. But now you are a heavenly person. You are a child of the living God. And if you look at everything from the spiritual perspective, we are all brothers and sisters. Because we all come from the same source. Adam
and Eve.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, say, you know, Tulane and I are related.
If Nali Tulane neri Ritzalana,
we are from the same family.
Ritlahamola Ben Lili one.
Then Tulane goes, lives where?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Is there such a place? Is that not a phone? Is a place. Ah, okay. In my mind, I'm thinking of a phone. So he goes and live in Hawaii.
What's a mile? Would you like go Hawaii?
Then, when he gets there, he sees a beautiful Hawaiian lady.
Abona a Hawaiian lady.
And marries her.
Abe amunyala.
And they have children.
Baba libana.
Even if the lady is white, then the children are coloredish.
Bana baba makalat.
Does that stop our, you know, our relation? Is it, does it stop being a family member?
Na khaisali wala palarona.
Now he's married a white woman, the children are colored. He's black, the wife is white, the children are colored.
Bana ke makalat.
Does that stop? Are the children not related to me?
Na bana ba khaba related.
The wife that he's married, is that wife now not related to me? No, but they live in Hawaii.
Badula go Hawaii.
Are we still related?
Yes.
So we are all coming from these two people, Adam and Eve. Some of our brothers and sisters are wherever. Some of our other brothers and sisters are wherever. Some of our other brothers and sisters are wherever. But that doesn't stop the fact that we all come from the same source. Our parents is Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
So we must never, ever, ever be foolish. And never forget the word of God. Finally, on this subject, come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6
by Ephesus
from verse 10.
6 verse 10.
Read for me up until verse 12.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we must never forget who our true enemy is. Our real enemy is a spirit. I can't hear your amens.
Amen.
The real enemy is not your brother or your sister. Your real enemy is an evil spirit. So, at no point must you ever stop being a child of God. And at no point must you ever take your eyes from the Spirit. Because all that you see on the earth, the source thereof is the Spirit. So there is an evil spirit that the Bible calls the God of this world. He is ruling this environment. And he is influencing this environment. And our real fight is with that spirit. The day you fight with your brother and your sister, it means that you have taken your eyes off from the spirit. Because the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but our battle is spiritual." So politicians talk. They are fighting their own political battle. Ours is a spiritual one. And we must never forget it. Because that's where the real enemy is. Who is causing all this havoc that we see on the earth. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
If you forget that, then your hatred will be towards your brother and sister. Instead of it being targeted towards the real enemy who is causing all the problems on this earth. If you understand what I'm saying, put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. If any of my church members is found doing xenophobic behavior,
and
they don't belong to this church, they don't belong to the kingdom of God, because according to the word of God, we are all one family. Put your hands together for the Lord one more time. Now, by God's grace, somewhere towards the end of next year, God willing, we want to take the gospel to Zimbabwe. Now, if these things continue, will we be ever allowed to cross the border? So we must stop this nonsense. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you know anyone who thinks in a different way, please educate them.
Barute.
And show them the scriptures that I have shown you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, for 20 minutes, come with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 13, from verse 14. Are you there? Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after the Lord had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord.
Read verse 14 one more time.
And the Lord said to Abram, after the Lord had separated from him, lift your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward.
For all the land. Read.
For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever.
For all the land that you
see,
that you what?
See,
I will give it to thee and thy seed forever. Ephesians 3 verse 20, quickly. Ephesians chapter 3,
verse 20.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, according to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, another version says, or imagine. God has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you have the ability to see. Someone say see.
See.
Now we are talking about a subject we have entitled Become a Dreamer. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Can you shake your neighbor and make sure they are awake? Can you make sure that they are smiling? Say, neighbor, I haven't seen your teeth today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, as I have explained, if there is something that limits God in your personal life, it is your ability to see. Many of us are blind to the future that we can potentially have. And because of our blindness, we have limited God and caused his hands to be short so that he is unable to take us to the levels that we should be in. He said to Abraham, what you can have is dependent on what you can see. What you can have, what you can do, what you can achieve, where you can go, is limited by what you can see. It is dependent on what you can see. Recently, I heard a man of God preaching. And he said he was turning 60 years old. And people were celebrating him as they are men of God. And they had organized a big party for him. Wow, we love our men of God. He said, while people were happy and celebrating him, he said he was feeling sad. When all the festivities were over, he went to his room and he cried to God.
Allah,
he said, Jehovah, I have turned 60 today, which means the sun is about to go down. And he said, yet there is too much to be done. At that time, this man of God, the church that he oversees, was in about 50 countries. And he prayed that prayer. And he said, God, there's so much work to be done. We want to have churches all over the world. When he cried that prayer, the Lord said to him, I am in charge of the sun. As we speak today, if a place is called a country, he's got a church there. Anywhere in the world, if they call themselves a country, he's got a church there. Maputo, is it a country? Amen.
Or is it a city? In Mozambique. He's got a church there. Russia. He's got a church there. Russia is generally white.
Russia.
And this man, his church is from Nigeria. But he's got
Nigeria.
A church there. Did you say Hawaii?
Amen.
He's got a church there. Any country you can think of, he's got a church there. How did this become possible? He could see it. He could see it. There is a place in America that is called Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Now, the founder of Disneyland, died before the gates could be opened to the public.
Are
you still here? And on the opening day of this Disneyland, have you ever heard of Disneyland? On the opening day, his son was the one now who was in charge of everything. And somebody came to interview the child and said, "Don't you wish your father could have seen all of this?" Do you know what is the response?
Now
he said he saw it before any of us could see it. Your life is limited by your inability to see. You have to start. Dream of a better future. Dream of being a person of exploits. Don't dream normal dreams like everybody is dreaming.
You know,
there are people at school say, you know, God, if nka kreya 50 nyana, 50.
If I can just get 50.
Now the pass mark is
30 fella.
God desires more than that. God wants you to excel. I said God wants you to excel.
Amen.
Now, I'm still talking about how to make your dreams come
true.
Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Habakkuk chapter 2. Well, let's just read from verse 1. Verse 1 to 3.
Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set myself the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry.
Read verse 3 one more time.
For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, one of the things that you have to be aware of in ensuring that the dreams that God is giving you come true is that you have to be patient. Somebody say patient.
Patient.
Now, in verse 3, it says that the vision is yet for an appointed time. Appointed time. In other words, it will come to pass in a specific moment in time. Many people are not patient. Some students,
babang bana ba sekolo,
they will go to university with the dream of becoming a what? A doctor.
Baya university ka toro ya go ba ngaka.
Now, no matter how brilliant you are,
le ge o tlhalefile byang,
to become a doctor takes 7 years of university education.
Gore o be ngaka se se dira se tsia dijara tsa 7.
How long does it take?
7 years.
7 years. There are no shortcuts.
Ahona shortcut.
No matter how smart you are, it's a 7 year process.
Say sitia dijara, say 7.
Now, if you are not a patient individual, because many other degrees take about 3-4 years.
The degree taking ditia 3-4 years.
So while you are busy on your 7 year course,
hence udira your 7 year course,
your age mates and your classmates, after about 3-4 years, they start earning an income.
But
if you are not careful, you can say, now I'm no longer want to be a doctor. Now I want to be something else. The dream, the vision is for an appointed time. When you finish your 7 year process, by the time you start earning money on your first job, you will earn more money than your friends who have been working for the last 3-4 years. All you have to do is be patient.
And
patient doesn't mean that you sleep. It means you keep doing the right things with the hope that at the right time, God will answer my prayers. Your amens are not blessing me. So many people, because they are impatient, they stop doing the right things. Some even turn away from Jehovah because they are not patient. Because they see their friends prospering and doing all sorts of things, they stop from going, they move from the road that God has designed for them to jump into another lane which is not for them.
They'll
be struggling.
Ba sokola.
And struggling.
Ba sokola.
And struggling.
Ba sokola.
Because there's no grace for you in that lane. It's not for you. It is designed for somebody else. You must stay on your own journey. You know, on my wedding day,
there
was a gentleman who was driving us. And as we were going to the reception,
Riako reception,
he said something, you know, many people advised us that day, but the one that I've never forgotten is what that guy said. He said that marriage is a journey. And he said to us, we must never make the mistake of looking at other people and trying to fashion our marriage to be like other people's marriages. He said we must decide how we want our marriage to be and what will make us happy in our marriage. So
that
we must personalize it.
It says tshwanetse sabaka rona.
And I've found that to be so true. Because whenever you try to be somebody else, you'll never be happy. I can hear your amen.
Amen.
You can never be happy. You have to be you. And you have to prosper in your journey. So ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest attributes that you need in your life for your dreams to come true is patience. Somebody say patience.
Patience.
You have to be patient.
There
are processes that God wants you to go through. God is not a God of shortcuts. He wants you to go through the process. So you must be patient. You are in school, finish it. I said what?
Finish.
Finish. Don't leave it halfway, then you're going to work, then you stop, then you go back to school, then you do, then you are doing this, then you are going there. Patience. Start something and complete it.
Amen.
I said start something and what?
And complete it.
And complete it. God
Mudimu
once said a very powerful statement.
Uile abulela se se butlokwa.
He said, I have found a man
urile ke fumane motho
after my own heart.
Olo gore o mo pelong yaka.
And that man was to be the king over Israel.
Motho o na ne tlo ba khosi ya Israel.
Now when God said that, he was talking about David. And at that time, David was about 17 years old.
David nana lidijara tse 17.
At the age of 17, God sent a prophet called Samuel.
Mudimu aromela mo profeta.
And came and anointed him as king of Israel.
Amotlotsa yaba khosi ko Israel.
But he was 17.
Nana lidijara tse 17.
Do you know when that dream came to pass?
Now
when he turned 40. Are you stop saying amen?
Amen.
How many years are those? 23 years.
Amen.
It took 23 years for the vision to come to pass. Many of us on the way, we would have given up and said, no, it's not real. Maybe the prophet missed it. He missed it. Maybe he meant another David, not me.
Maybe Nara Davida Omongwe.
It took 23 years for the prophecy to come to pass. Patience is necessary. Very necessary. You must know it and understand it. If you are a patient person, you'll be able to handle a lot of things while having the hope that your dream will come true. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Somebody say patience.
Patience.
It's not a name of a person, it's something you must do. Be patient. Number, what number are we on? I don't know how many points I've given you. No, in total. Number something. Number five. I'm talking about how to make your dreams come true. Number five, you must understand that the time between the moment you dreamt and when the dream comes true, that period in between is a season of training. Do you understand what I said? The time from when you receive the dream, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a man, a woman of God. I want to have my own business. And the time when that finally happens, that period in between is a season of training. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1. Quickly. Exodus 3 and verse 1.
Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God.
Pause there. Borrow another version, a simpler, easier version, quickly.
Exodus chapter 3 verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back or west side of the wilderness.
That's exactly the same. Does someone have a different version who can borrow us quickly that says it in a different way? Quickly, quickly, ladies and gentlemen.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
the priest of Midian,
mm-hmm.
and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God.
Hallelujah. Now, as you all know Moses' story,
Jack Alitiba's story, Samushe.
His mother put him in a river. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. He grew up in Pharaoh's home. And at some point he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Came, stopped him, beat the Egyptian. And killed the Egyptian. Then he ran away from Egypt. And eventually landed in this place called Horeb.
Afitlelako Horeb.
Now, when he was there,
Ge aliko Horeb,
he met a beautiful woman,
akopana le mosadi,
and married her,
amonyala.
And so the Bible says that what he used to do,
sena sietsa,
he became a shepherd,
neli modisa,
taking care of sheep,
atlokomela dingu.
Just be leading sheep. Taking the sheep from there to there. Doing the work of a shepherd. He did that for almost 40 years. How long?
40 years.
Now all of this was training. for his real purpose. The physical sheep were not his real purpose, but they were training for when he was going to take care of the people of God. Initially, he was leading sheep, but over time, he was leading God's people. So God had to train him before he could actually walk into his real purpose in this life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Come with me quickly to the book of Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. Genesis 39, from verse 1 to verse 6.
Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt.
Are you there? Genesis is after Revelations. Yeah, I was just checking if you're still awake. Genesis 39, from verse 1 to 6. Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had, except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can see that Joseph eventually landed in Potiphar's house. And to cut the long story short, Potiphar gave authority to Joseph. Joseph was in charge of everything that belonged to Potiphar. To the point that Potiphar didn't know how much he even had in the bank. Joseph was in charge of everything. Potiphar was just enjoying the wealth.
Potiphar na utlama se go
fela. Now come with me to Genesis 41, verse 38. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 38 to 45.
Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in the regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his raiment ring on his hand and put it in Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had made him in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphanatha.
That name.
Mm-hmm. And he gave him as a wife Asnetha, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. So Joseph went over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Hallelujah. So can you see now Joseph has basically become the president of Egypt?
Yaba president yako Egypt.
Ruling the whole country.
Abusa.
But before he could get there, which was his original future,
pele akafithela go,
which was his destiny,
neli se atsonetse a se fithela.
God took him through training.
Modimo o ile a mia mo leeto.
Put him in Potiphar's home.
And
taught him how to rule, how to take care of things, how to lead people, how to take care of finances. But that was not his destiny. He was undergoing training so that when he gets to where he's supposed to be, he'll be ready for it. So it is very important to know and to understand that from the day that God speaks to you and imparts a vision, a dream into your heart, to the day that it comes to pass, you have to undergo training. There's a process that needs to come to pass. Otherwise, when you get to your destiny, you will spoil it because you have not been trained so that you can succeed when you get there. There was a young man, the Bible calls him the prodigal son. He went to his father and said, give me all my inheritance. Because he didn't go through the process of training, when the money landed, he wasted it all and came to a point where he experienced poverty and he was eating with pigs. Many people are not aware of the training process that they must undergo. Many people do not prepare themselves for their destiny. You must be aware that God needs to train you. Otherwise, when you reach your destiny, you will not be able to stand. You know, I heard someone talking in a certain video one day. And he was talking about, you know, the churches we see today and the pastors that we see today. Because church members these days, they don't want to undergo any process. Say amen. Many people just want a miracle and they are happy. If you go to churches that are miracle-based churches, they are full.
Jam-packed.
They even have overflows, and the overflows are overflowing. When you go there, someone will come to testify and say, I just got promoted at work.
Ki sitwe kodimo ko mmerekong.
I used to be a receptionist.
Ne ke le a receptionist.
Now I'm a doctor.
Ki doctor.
And everyone will celebrate. The glory be to God. Hallelujah. And somebody said something that I never thought of before. Is that not a powerful miracle from receptionist to doctor? Wow. God is moving. But imagine now you fall ill and you need to go for an operation. Will you be happy about that receptionist who has just become a doctor? Come and cut and open you.
Otla tabela seo.
You will say no.
Otla gana.
We thank God for the miracle, but not you. Give me an experienced doctor, please.
Kitoka ngaka ya nnete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the process is necessary.
Process ya
the training is necessary. It's necessary. You can't go without it. Otherwise, when you get there, you will make blunders. During the process and the training time, making mistakes is okay. But when you get to your position of destiny, you can't make mistakes there. Because making a mistake there can cost people their lives. Imagine God just giving a powerful miracle and said, Tulane, from today you are a pilot. No training. No process. You know, there are people before they fly,
they will ask,
who is the captain?
The captain.
They don't want to be just flown by anyone. They need to understand that the person has experience.
Baba tla go tseba gore motho o wa tseba se a se dirang.
Hey, flying is dangerous. When you are there, when the thing goes, you feel like you're going to toilet. Hey, one lady, and the thing was just a little. You feel like you are dying. How about you?
Wena,
you have a dream, you see yourself doing great things. But you are not willing to go through the process that God wants to take you through. So that by the time you are established and you sit on your position of authority, whether you are a doctor, whether you are some great man of God, whatever it is that you are seeing right now, if it is God who is taking you there, there will most definitely be a process. And that process is preparing you for your future, your destiny, your dreams.
So
if you want your dreams to come true, don't avoid the process. Don't run away from the process. Don't go for shortcuts. Allow God to train you. Allow God to take you through the training. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Allow.
Dumela modimo.
Let me give you one last point and then we close. The last one is that you have to be bold. Joshua chapter 1. from verse 5 to 6.
Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you as all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I saw to their fathers to give them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for your dreams to come true, you have to have liver.
Utswanetse wa ba le sebete.
Engi?
Sebete.
Sebete. You must be bold.
Amen.
You must be courageous.
Amen.
Otherwise, you will never walk into your destiny. God came and met a certain gentleman called Moses.
Modimo ile kopana le motho a bitswa gore ke Moses.
Imparted a dream.
Ah, be a toro go yena.
He said, "See my people in Egypt.
Are bona batho ba ka ko Egypt.
I want to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey."
Ke batla o ba ise ko tulong mo go na le tsotlhe.
So Moses could see it.
Moshe na khona go bona
seo. He went to the people.
A ya mo go batho bao.
He said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey." To cut the long story short, they went on the journey. When it was time to go into the land, they found that people were living there. And the people were not just ordinary people, they were giants. And God said, "Yeah, this is the land, take it."
Do you know
that the people felt like running away? And they started saying, "God brought us here just to kill us." Before you can enjoy your dreams, you have to fight giants. There you are, God imparts a vision of a business and start showing you great things. But if your business is to succeed, you have to leave your day job. Do you think it's easy? It's a risk. But if you don't take that risk, you may never enjoy your destiny. You may never enjoy your destiny. You may never enjoy your destiny. You have to be bold. You have to have the heart and the eyes of a lion. Otherwise, you may never enjoy your destiny. Every successful person has taken major risks
by 3D
in their lives.
The risk mo pilong babona abo mama pilong abona.
If you could only have the chance to sit down with them, and say, "How did you become what you are today?"
Ore obile biang se olisona kacheko.
One day, there was a certain man of God called Archbishop Benson Idahosa.
He
came to a certain church. When he got to that church, one young man came running to him. He said, "Archbishop, I want the anointing that's upon your life." Archbishop said, "Kneel down." Started praying for him. And he said, "Lord,
armudimu.
May witches chase him.
Baloi ba mosale morago.
May he lose his sleep.
Alahlegelwe ke boroko.
And he was praying such prayers.
Narapela.
So the guys moved his hands and said, hey.
Atlosa letsogo.
I said I want the anointing.
Are ke batla tlotso.
Not witches chasing me, not
a sing baloi ba ntsale morago.
The man of God said, look,
Muruti Ari,
for me to be standing where I'm standing today, I had to go through this process where witches will come and write your name like live. You see that they are bewitching you, they are not hiding it.
Bajo lawyer.
I had to fight all these things before I can become the person that you know me to be today. You must be bold. You must be bold. Some of you are students. You are at school. You have dreams. If I ask you, what do you want? I want to be this. I want to be this. The working world is a jungle.
Hualiwa.
It's a jungle.
Hualiwa.
I say, it's a what?
It's a jungle.
So when you get there, you have to have the heart of a lion.
O ba lipilo ya tao.
So that you can survive.
Hore o khone go phomella.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Give the Lord some glory, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands properly. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you growing? May your dreams come true in Jesus' mighty name. I said, may your dreams come true in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you be bold as a lion.
Amen.
May you be bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Oh, may you be successful.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that anyone here who is not undergoing any process, may God take you through a journey that will train you for your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. May God give you the boldness of a lion to overcome anything that stands in front of your destiny. In the name of Jesus. If there's somebody here who has no dream, no vision, may God visit you and impart a vision.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe you've been blessed by this message. For inquiries, please call us on 081-8160153 or send us an email at healingfireministries@outlook.com.